So we're reading from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9, which you can find on page 1180. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you.
Let's welcome Steve, who's going to come and preach to us this evening. And as we prepare to listen to Steve, why don't we pray for him and for ourselves? Pray that the Lord would be speaking to us and moving in us. And as your props department, get your visual aids in order. Good stuff. Let's pray. Let's pray for ourselves and for Steve. Father God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for this sermon series we've been in, looking through Paul's letter to the Philippians. Thank you for all that you've been saying to us as a church family through this letter. I thank you for my brother, Steve. Thank you for the gift of teaching and preaching that you've given him. Pray now that you would anoint him by your Holy Spirit to speak your words to us this evening, and that each one of us, as you speak to us through Steve, would encounter you and hear from you. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Danny. Good evening, everybody. I want to ask you a bit of a rhetorical question to start with. When you came in this evening, if you were to give yourself a scale of 1 to 10, how worried or anxious are you? Oh, there's a few nods. So what I hope is by the end of tonight, every single one of us can be at zero. So let's find out what Paul has to say about how we go about doing that. But beforehand, let's just see if you can work out who these characters are on this slide. So we've got Bob Marley, and we've got Timon and Pumbaa from The Lion King. Okay, now you've got to imagine I've got a West Indian accent as I sing this bit. No, I'm not going to sing it, actually, you'll be pleased to know. Bob Marley says, "Don't worry about a thing, because every little thing is going to be all right." And Timon and Pumbaa, Hakuna Matata, what a wonderful phrase. Hakuna Matata, ain't no passing craze. No worries for the rest of your days. It's a problem-free philosophy. Thank you. Thank you very much. That's it. I'm going to sit down now. But that last phrase got me thinking, because actually I do have a bit of a problem with a problem-free philosophy of ain't no worries. Because if somebody says to you, "Oh, don't worry about it," it really doesn't seem to cut it, does it? And then we read in Paul's letter to the Philippians, the first thing he says is, "Do not be anxious," which also doesn't seem to be giving the right answer. So I thought I would create my own song tonight to help you remember what I'm going to be talking about. So I'm going to give you a rap. Actually, I'm not really, because my daughters have been like, "Dad, don't," and they might even be watching. So I'm not doing a rap, you'll be pleased to know. But what I am going to do is to pull out three words from the verses that we read today, and they spell the word rap. How good is that? So I'm going to look at rejoice, I'm going to look at anxiety or anxious, and I'm going to look at peace. Because I think these three things are what Paul is writing about to bring us to that zero point on the scale of our anxiety. And the first thing he talks about in verse 4 says this: rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. To rejoice means to be full of joy. Not in ourselves, not in our circumstances, but in the Lord. For what he has done for us and who he is. Because when we think about the Lord, it takes our minds off our circumstances that we're in. It puts our attention on him and not ourselves. And rejoicing, we can say, is a way of looking at life that is not affected by our circumstances. But you might say to me, seriously, Steve, you've got no idea what is going on in my life. How can you say, how can Paul say, rejoice? And I think Paul tells us about saying rejoice because he has experienced circumstances where he's rejoiced. If we think about Acts, he, Paul, and Silas are in chains. They're in prison. And what do? They praise, they sing, they rejoice to the Lord. They rejoice about who he is and what he's done, and regardless of their situation and their circumstances, they rejoice. So the first thing we learn about eliminating and zero is that we rejoice. But I don't know about you, but when we experience anxiety, when we see our world so full of anxious people, we ask ourselves, how can that be? Because I want to read you some stats. In 2013, the Mental Health Foundation declared that there were 8.2 million cases of anxiety in the UK. Rates of depression and anxiety among teenagers in particular has increased by 70% in the past 25 years. In 2016, Parent Zone said the number one mental health concern among children and teenagers was anxiety disorder. The biggest triggers for children are exams and the constant pressure that comes with it. But here's the thing, more than 1 in 10 people are likely to have a disabling anxiety disorder at some stage in their life. It's really harrowing, isn't it? And we look around this congregation tonight. 1 in 10 will have a disabling anxiety disorder. I am one of them. About 3 years ago, I had a really, really difficult time at work. I'm often a bit of a worrier anyway, but when I was at work, pressure started to mount. And I had a little worry about maybe the things I was doing weren't going so well. But then the pressure starts to build, and my anxiety, my worries rather, turns into anxiety. as my boss says, "Come on, Steve, I need more sales." "Steve, I need you to make two of your team redundant." I started to question, how can I do this job? I started to question my own abilities. I started to question this job I've been doing for 15 years. And I started to get really anxious. And then I started to get really anxious about the fact I was anxious. And then it started to affect my health. And then I started to worry about whether or not I was going to lose my job. What would I do for income? What about the finances in our family? What's going to happen? I would wake up on a Monday morning with absolute and total dread about going to work. Some might say I was having mild panic attacks. I wasn't sleeping. I wasn't a joy to be around. I certainly didn't feel like rejoicing. I had no energy. I felt just totally flat. And I think I hid it quite well. I think probably not many of you who knew me that time knew what was going on. And I wonder if there's some of you here tonight who are also hiding it. Maybe for you it's not a job, but maybe it's your health that is causing you to be anxious. Maybe it's the constant pressure of your finances. Or maybe there's someone close to you that you're worried about. Maybe some of you have tried solutions like going to the doctor, like medication. "Just do more exercise, Steve, you'll feel better." "Just take some time off, you'll be all right." And one of the last things I thought about doing was praying. I knew what I needed to do. And I took my anxieties and my worries and I cried out desperately, "God, please take this from me. I don't want to feel like this anymore. It's crippling me." And I prayed. And I picked it up again. And then I started filling it again with more worries and more anxieties. And why did I do that? Because I think maybe I doubted that God could deal with this. Because when I prayed and nothing happened, and I prayed and a few days later I still felt the same way. And we often feel like, "God, come on, do something." And we know that He can do something. You see, here's the thing. The word anxiety actually means divided mind. On the one hand, we believe that God is our provider. He loves us. He has a plan for our life. He wants the best for us. Yet we spend our time carrying our burdens and our worries and our anxieties because we think we can deal with them ourselves. Maybe we think, God's not interested in this. Maybe we think we can deal with it ourselves. If I just try this, if I just do that, or if I exercise a bit more, it'll be fine. The final trigger for me was as I was reading God's word. In Matthew chapter 11, it says, Jesus' word says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." How do we do that? How can we leave it and walk away? Paul, in this chapter of Philippians, says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Oh, I prayed, but in every situation, about taking everything to God, about how I was feeling, how I was thinking, how I was worrying, presenting my request to God. And I also pray and I thank God that I had a very patient and understanding wife. And I had a very supportive connect group that prayed with me and friends to help me understand that what I was doing was holding on to my plans that I wanted to do for my life. That's what was causing my anxiety. God wanted to move me on to something else, but I wanted to stay doing what I was doing. And when I finally gave in, I moved into a place where I was able to recognize and rejoice about what God did in my life. And that's what Paul says here, to rejoice in difficult circumstances, choosing to rejoice, and when we're anxious, to pray, because it gives us God's perspective. And what happens, take our burdens to Him, and our worries and anxieties, and we leave them at the cross. What does He give in return? In verse 7, "And the peace of God, which transcends our understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." You see, guard is a military term. It's like this: the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds. Words of worry and anxiety, you are not coming in. The peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What an amazing promise. You see, a little bit later on in this passage, and Danny's going to expand on this a little bit more, Paul is able to say, "I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want." And I believe the reason he says he's learned the secret is because he's learned to rejoice in the Lord in every and any situation. And that when he feels anxious or worried, he prays and gives thanks to God and presents his requests to God. And God gives him peace and contentment. And he knows that the peace of God will guard his heart. You see, he knew that God is for him, will never leave him, and that he can trust him. And the same is for us. God loves you. God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. He will never give you anything that you cannot go through with him. Some of you may know a lady called Corrie ten Boom. She was a Christian woman in World War II, and she sheltered Jewish people. And she was arrested and put in a concentration camp. And she would encourage the other prisoners by saying this: look around and be distressed. Look within and be depressed. But look to Jesus and be at rest. Look around and be distressed. Look within and be depressed. But look to Jesus and be at rest. So as we wrap up tonight, maybe for some of you, you've still got that song running round your head now, Hakuna Matata, or maybe the words of Bob Marley. But I hope and pray you've got a different song going round your head, the rap, to rejoice in the Lord always, to not be anxious, but respond in prayer and thanksgiving, and the peace of God will guard your hearts. Maybe for some of you today, you've been carrying around anxiety like a stone, and it's heavy. Maybe some of you have had it on and off for years. But the new song, the song that Paul says is, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. The stone you were given when you came in is a small representation of your worries and your anxieties. Maybe for some of you, it just feels really small compared to your worries and your anxieties. Maybe for some of you it feels heavy and burdening you down in multiple areas. Maybe it's about your job or your health or your future or exams or family or something else. But maybe for some of you, you're really, really struggling with this message tonight. You might say, Steve, I've tried everything. I've tried the doctors, I've tried medication, I've tried prayer, and I still feel anxious. Maybe you're still stuck here and just piling on more into your bag. And you're just weighing down more and more. Maybe you've been to the cross. Maybe you've left your worries there, but you've picked them up again. Or maybe you've prayed and left them there, but God doesn't seem to be doing anything. The Bible says, to cast our anxiety on him because he cares for you. If you're really struggling, maybe you need to come and speak to me or Danny. There'll be prayer ministry. But actually tonight, I'd like us to give an opportunity to all of you to take the stone as a representation of your worries and your anxieties. And during this next song, as the band plays, I would invite you to come up and to leave your stone on the table at the cross. As your commitment and your trusting in God to say, I'm not going to pick it up again. I leave it with you, God. I trust you. And I pray that as you leave, there'll be people from the prayer ministry team to pray with you. But I pray that as you go back to your seats, that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and love of Christ. Amen.